After that marvelous reflection that was woven around the story of one of our brother Shannon's great heroes, I want to weave my reflections around a visual image. Because as I travel around the diocese, especially in these past months, I also hear voices that say, "Bishop, keep politics out of the church," not just out of the pulpit, out of the church. But those voices are very, very few right now, in my experience, compared to the people who are saying, "Please give us some vocabulary, give us the theology, give us some stories, give us some images to help us to bring the voice of the church into the public square." And we have those images, and we have those stories, and that theology, and that vocabulary as a church. We have that gift from our Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he was asked to summarize the law, what's the most important law of all of the 636 laws in the Old Testament? What is the most important? And what he did was not to answer that question, because he gave two. He couldn't just give one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws, he said, all the law and the prophets depend. These two, they're equal. One of the many things that Jesus did that was brand new. With God, Jesus was saying to us, we get each other. That's the deal. That's the deal that we accept at our baptism. With God, we get each other. We get every human being. The visual image for me of that is that our life of faith is based on both of those loves, loving God and loving our neighbor. We can picture our relationship with God as a vertical line, the connection that I have between me and God, the God to whom I pray, whom I adore, whom I strive to listen to. And that vertical spirituality can have a focus that's about my living my life in such a way that I'm going to go to heaven. And that the relationship with other people is so that they'll have a vertical spirituality so that they can go to heaven. But this vertical line is only half the story, and it's incomplete without the other line, because with God, we get each other. That's the deal. With God, we get each other. All of humanity, all whom God loves, we are deeply connected with them. That, of course, is a horizontal spirituality, that I can know God and love God in relationship with other people. Now, of course, when we put the two spiritualities and the two lines together, we know what we get. The cross of our Lord and Savior. Where those two lines intersect, right at the heart of the cross, is also where our faith intersects politics. Now, a Celtic cross, you will remember, has a circle drawn right around that intersection. It represents the earth, the place where we live out both of these spiritualities, but it's also like an emphasis. It's like a big red circle drawn right around it that said this is the place where our relationship with God intersects with our relationship with other people. That's the exact place where our faith intersects with the public square. It's not a safe and comfortable place. I mean, we know that the cross for Jesus was an instrument of death, excruciating suffering, excruciating, a word that means from the cross. For Duncan Gray and for so many others, living in the public square, speaking as a Christian into the public square and acting there, brought him and brought others face to face with the cross, with all of the pain and agony of it. But the cross is also a symbol of triumph, that through the resurrection of our Lord, the cross is empty, that life triumphs over death, that hope triumphs over despair and fear. So that circle where the two lines intersect, that's where faith and politics for us intersect. That's where God is calling us, I think, as a church, to speak more, perhaps, than ever, or at least as much as ever, to bring our voice to bear to that place, to that circle, to that intersection. And one of the ways that I think God is calling us to do it now, and one of the ways I speak about and invite congregations to, is by being ourselves a model of what that conversation looks like. Now, a lot of our congregations have struck a deal with each other. The people in the pews, we know, in most of our congregations, don't agree with each other politically. There are people who sit next to each other or in front of or behind each other who are going to vote for the other candidate. We know that the people in our pews have wide varieties of views, and that the people in our pews represent this huge divide in our nation, as much as any other community of people does. But part of the deal that we've struck with each other is we're just not going to talk about it. We're going to set up the altar, and we're going to have choir rehearsal, and we're going to worship and do all of the things that we do, and we're just not going to talk about it because we don't want to be divided, because we love each other. What if in our churches, we as leaders created safe places for people to actually talk to each other because they love each other? What if after the election, we created opportunities for people to come together and say in a safe place who they voted for and why, and what it is, what their hopes and dreams are for themselves, for their families, for their communities, for the church, that led them to make that decision about who they voted for, and to share that with real, true, deep listening and love. Our nation, we know, is deeply, deeply divided, and the divide just keeps getting wider and wider and deeper from year to year. If we can't talk about it in the church by telling our own stories, where can we talk about it? By telling those stories, by taking that great risk, and by striving to love each other even more deeply because we understand and maybe we even stop making assumptions about each other. If we can start to do all of that in the church, then that huge, deep, and wide divide starts to heal one conversation at a time. We in the church know something about healing and about reconciliation. And by practicing it together, in light of our political divisions, we can unleash some of that healing that we already know in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.